Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank the station for working to make this happen, but it's not John we're thanking this week. Take it from there. Who do we have?
I'm Pete, and I've worked with you before, and I'm actually pretty excited to get into the studio with you guys again.
Well, we've had some good shows with Pete before. He thought about taking over John's position, but John usually comes back and puts the squash down on that.
John loves his airtime.
Well, Pete, thanks for filling in turning the buttons and the switches the right way so that we're live, because Tom and I would mess that up for sure.
Yeah, well, glad to have you, Pete.
Thanks, Tom. With us, that is our lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you doing?
You know, I'm warm right now, a little hot.
Well, it was. I mean, crazy week this week, record temperatures. And, you know, for me in real estate, that kind of messes it up a little bit. And I'll tell you why. Normally, we have those home inspections and we need HVAC repairs and services. Well, those HVAC guys, they don't want to do our little home inspection repairs or services this week because they're all too busy. So, yeah, I think it makes it a little bit difficult for everybody.
You know, it is. It was like so hot that you couldn't even be outside unless you're in the water or in a pool or floating down the Yakima or something.
But our temperatures are now finally as hot as our real estate market.
Oh, I like it.
You like that,
nice
right?
Nice segue.
Okay, so,
good.
So that is where we're at. The market is still moving along very well. It does make it a little difficult when showing houses. We had luckily no heat stroke, but we literally had trouble. One of our keys on our phone wasn't opening a lockbox earlier this week for one of our agents, and she said 20 minutes at the front door getting that key to update was not comfortable. So there's the hazards of showing homes when it's 100 degrees.
Well, and this is where you would probably recommend to your sellers, make sure your HVACs are nice and cool so it's comfortable when people go in.
Well, and that's exactly right. And that is actually one of those small little bonuses about, you know, we always talk about the amount of time to keep somebody in a house gives them more time to visualize, think of themselves being in that house. So yeah, if you have it that nice, cool, chilly 72 degrees compared to 100 outside, the buyers tend to like to take their time and check things out. So definitely another thing to point out, too, is if you're trying to sell a vacant home, a lot of times through the spring and the fall, people will leave the thermostats off and just have the ambient air temperature on a vacant home. Well, I'll tell you what, going in to show a vacant home in the evening this last week is not fun. And the buyers, if they get in there, it's 102 or 103 degrees inside the house, they will not stay in there very long. So even those vacant homes, it's going to cost a little more in electricity, but you're going to want to have those HVAC units going and keeping those cool enough that the buyers will still want to look around. So that's our hot summer temperature tips there. Before we jump into our subject, we always like to start with our crazy celebrity real estate story. This one actually has a price that's not too bad, but I couldn't resist this one. And this is a home that is in Stade, New England, and it is built like a cement structure that is built in the shape of a spaceship. And it was built in a New England hillside 30 years ago. And it was kind of crazy. In fact, one local threatened to kill the architect during the building process. Some of the history behind this house. Well, what it is it's actually a condominium structure. It's got 13 condominiums in it. And this two-bedroom is available for a price of $349,900.
That's not as bad as most of the celebrity ones.
Well, yeah, sometimes
we
do the celebrity ones, and they're these crazy prices. This one just stuck out. It was just crazy when I was flipping through the research and trying to figure the story out for this week. This is one where you just stop and you're like,
spaceship condo
can't be a house, is it? But yes, so spaceship condo can be yours. 1448 square feet for $349.9. So that's our crazy house story of the week. Now, this week, we want to jump into our topic. Last week, we were talking about objections and things that come up in the real estate industry that we hear again and again and again, and how different it can be when you're actually in the industry. So kind of debunking some of the myths that we have in the industry going on. I brought seven or eight of those last week, and I believe on the show last week we made it through three or four. Mm-hmm. And so, like we talked about, I said, let's not waste the material, so let's go ahead and get through some of that. So I brought back those objections and some of the things that happen in the real estate transaction and how that's viewed. And really, I took this over the course of the last two or three months that we've been going through, and I just kind of wrote down the themes of what comes up commonly again and again and again. One of the things that comes up, and this is number five that we didn't get to last week that I wrote down to talk about, is we hear again and again, I need an extension to close this. And so, you know, that rarely ever happens with Mr. Tom Coyne at Umpqua, but unfortunately for us, we don't get to do every loan with him. Sometimes buyers with other agents sell our listings or come with another lender, and we're at the mercy of that decision. So a lot of times we will get your request for an extension. I need an extension to close this. We're 4 days late from getting those loan documents done, and we need to extend. A lot of times people take that as an automatic. They're like, okay, great. Yeah, what's the seller going to do, right? We need to extend those 4 days. Can you send me over that extension? Here's the thing about this. That close date is a contractual term. Has to be agreed upon by both parties to make that extension. What if the seller does not want to agree? Here you've paid for an appraisal and you've paid for an inspection and you're a buyer, and you've missed your closing date. Some funds didn't get documented correctly. You didn't get a letter or verification you need. But the seller can absolutely not agree to that extension, put that house back on the market, and be on to another buyer.
And they get to keep their earnest money too. Is that right?
Yeah, because they have missed the missed the closing date. So in most cases, yeah, that would be an instance where that earnest money can go back to seller. Now, a lot of times people are like, well, why would a seller do this? They're 4 days from starting a process. Well, maybe they're not on their first extension. Maybe this is the second extension. Mm-hmm. Maybe the seller is losing faith in the buyer's lender or their ability to actually get this closed. And then when you have to look at what's happening in our market, you start to come and bring in another risk factor. And we've talked about how under $250,000 in this market, we're seeing multiple offers. We're seeing people bid up the price above the list price. When we see things like that start to happen, a seller will become less likely to grant an extension because now their thought is, well, if I go back on the market, maybe I'll get multiple offers again. Maybe I'll get more money now than I did the first time I entered into a contract with this buyer. So there is some big risks associated with not hitting that contract close date.
You know, Lance, on our end, the biggest thing a client can do to make sure the loan stays on track is just get the documentation we request as quick as possible. Now, you talk about how we rarely miss closing dates, and it's true. It's so very rare that when we do and we need an extension, Umpqua actually gives free 15-day rate lock extensions. And we don't have to do that too often. But when we do it, we lose money. And it's just kind of a reminder to my whole team, you know, how important it is to make sure we're hitting those closing dates. But I will tell you what I've seen this last week, and actually on two different instances, where I have docs at escrow for my client, but the lender on the house my clients are selling is not ready.
Yes.
And we found ourselves having to extend our rate lock, which was at no fault to our client or ourself, because the other lender's not ready. And we talk about this all the time. Both of them were out-of-town lenders.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know exactly what you're talking about. And so The hard part about that is just the perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're dealing with a lender that's potentially out of town, not in the community, they have a different perspective versus a local agent that's here knocking on the door, trying to help, figure out what the issue is, figure out what we need. There's a big difference when something happens. We had something this week where we had to, a lender said, this is exactly what I have to have. Here's what it needs to look like. We were able to drive to their office face to face, figure it out, take that document, get a notary to sign it from the local title company, get that back to the lender all within a 12-hour period so that we were able to continue on. And you're just not going to find that type of cooperation with the third party outside of the community.
You know, and I think what happens too is that that lender potentially, you know, out of town, they just sit at a desk in a cubicle somewhere in Connecticut. I don't know why I always say Connecticut, but it's just what comes to mind. Okay. And I think they lose touch with that's a family and
right.
There's moving trucks and that's a real human being that they're working with. It's not just a loan amount or a loan number. And we actually had a good reminder of this a couple weeks ago where a gal in my office, their closing was delayed for the same reason. It was the buyer of their house's lender didn't have the loan done. And it really put a lot of stress on her. And it was a great opportunity for me to sit down with my team and say, I know we get so busy in the hustle and bustle of closing loans, but it's really important to remember and just gentle reminder that this really affects people. And so we're always on point, but let's stay there and make sure that we're hitting our closing dates.
Tom, that's great perspective. And like I said, that all comes from what we hear all the time in real estate. I need an extension to close on this. Mm-hmm. Before we go to break, I'm going to give away the next one we're going to talk about after the break. And that is one of the biggest ones we hear a lot in real estate that sometimes can be a big mistake. And that is, I'm offended by this offer. I do not want to even respond. So we're going to talk about the pluses and the negatives of that when we come back from the break. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about objections and misconceptions in the real estate market, kind of going over a bunch of the stuff we've been hearing the last couple weeks. We also have talked a little bit about lending, but not enough. The money to purchase a home is usually an important part of that transaction. So, Tom, what's going on with Umpqua over there? What do we need to know?
Well, everyone wants to know, what are rates doing? Where are they going? Are they going up? Are they staying down? And so I thought I'd talk about rates because it's been extremely volatile lately. And I want to try to give our listeners a little bit of an insight into what's driving those rates and what's going on in the economy.
Now, folks, I know you can't see this because it's radio, but there is a crystal ball out on the shelf that he's looking into as he gives us this information.
Well, I wish, Lance.
Okay. Okay. But I'm just setting the scene for listeners.
I think I'd probably be in some big skyscraper in New York or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we probably.
I could really tell.
Okay,
but
give us the background.
Okay, so as of this last week on June 9th, a 30-year fixed rate mortgage that was on Zillow Mortgages was at 3.96%, which was up 18 basis points from that time last week when it was 3.77. So we've seen a little bit of a tick up in rates from last week. And Aaron Lance, who's the vice president of mortgages on Zillow, said that rates jumped sharply this last week, first on the heels of the news that the European Central Bank bond buying program was going to end sooner than expected. And then after exceptionally strong U.S. jobs report. So people always ask, what's driving rates? Europe?
Yep.
Jobs in the United States?
Absolutely.
It's like everything could push rates. So there's not any one thing, but that was what this gal notated rates would move off of based on last week. Now, we expect next week less volatile rates, but we've seen it on days where we're getting literally three or four different sets of rates in a given day, which makes it really, really hard to quote clients and lock rates because one time you tell them a quote at 11 a.m. and maybe at 1, that's no longer available. But the average 30-year rate in Washington this last week was 3.94%. Now, I've came across this article that just says, have U.S. mortgage rates bottom? Now, despite the recent uptick, interest rates are actually lower than they were 1 year ago. And with these lower interest rates, homebuyers are able to purchase approximately 10% more of a home compared to the start of last year, which really has increased their buying power.
That's a lot. That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, I've never thought, I mean, I'm in the business every day and I hadn't put that together. So 10% more home
compared to this time last year.
Yeah.
And that just shows you where rates are. So, yeah, rates have gone up, but they're still really, really low. That also kind of gives you an idea of, okay, if I'm thinking about buying in 6 months and what if I think rates are going to go higher, I may not be able to afford near as much of a home in 6 months if rates do really increase. So you're going to really want to keep an eye on that and keep an eye on your timeline of when you're expecting to buy. And I'm not saying rates are absolutely going to increase, but that's kind of the trend that we're seeing right now.
And I love that because I'm thinking if I'm looking at a 2,000 square foot home and I can get 10% more home, that's another 200 square feet.
Yep.
I mean, that's another bedroom.
Yep, absolutely.
Or maybe that third bay garage instead of a two bay.
Yep, exactly.
I love this.
Now, that same article also went on to ask consumers, do you think it's a good time to buy? And 66% of consumers said yes, which kind of shows that the consumers are bullish on the housing market right now. And as compared to just 2 years ago, many U.S. cities' home values are up more than 10%. In that time period over the last 2 years. And we've kind of seen a slow but steady national housing recovery since late 2012. Now, the hardest hit cities of the last decade have actually shown a lot of the highest rebounds. And that's including Phoenix, Arizona, San Francisco, California, Los Angeles. Those markets where we really saw big drops have actually started to rebound quite nicely. And new home sales continue to expand even as the prices rise. And then mortgage lenders also, they're exhibiting more confidence in housing, and we're seeing that with a lot of the reduced and relaxed guidelines that are coming out that we talk about all the time. Now, with mortgage rates low, purchasing power is again helping, is increased with those rates low because people are able to buy more houses and it just makes it more affordable. There's still some low to no down payment loan options that are out there. You got the VA loan, USDA loan, and the housing finance zero down loan as well. And you still, of course, have FHA with 3.5% down. So all these combined are helping give consumers the confidence that, yes, now is a good time to buy a house.
Well, that's good, good information. And, you know, I think it's interesting because our local market is not often reflective of the national market. A lot of times we're going in opposite directions, mm-hmm. but really for the last year and with what we've seen in our market here, we're really coming along with a lot of those national trends. So kind of a different place to find ourselves in the Tri-Cities, but I'll tell you what, I like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we've got these low rates, great market. So yeah, I'm definitely finding that we're having a lot of fun in this market and a good time to purchase.
You know, one thing I want to add too, according to Ellie Mae, more home loans are getting approved than any time period since 2011.
Yep.
So it really shows, again, those guidelines are getting looser and things are getting a little bit easier for people to be able to get into homes.
Good, good information, Tom, there. Thanks a lot for that. Of course, we always like to look at what three properties did I list this week that you can take that wonderful low interest rate and go purchase. So I've got to pick three out here. These are some new inventory listings we just put on. Pick number one, 720 South Penn Place. This is in Kennewick. Great neighborhood there, just off of like Kellogg and 20th out in that area there. And this is a 5-bedroom, 3-bath home, 2,500 square feet. You've got formal living and formal dining that both have bay windows. You've got a kitchen with a breakfast bar, tons of cabinets, 2 pantries, and then that opens up to the family room. Big master suite with private bathroom, and the 5th bedroom is also on the main level. So this is just an amazing, amazing property, covered patio plus extended patio, and a private, like, I mean, park-like backyard, fully fenced, just under a 0.5 acre, 0.41 of an acre lot. And we're priced in that location at $280,000. So, I mean, just an incredible, incredible property. Pick number two that we put on, 1024 Winslow Avenue. This is over in Richland. This is a 4-bedroom, 1-bath Rambler with a basement that's right in that central Richland location on Winslow. 1,722 square feet. They did new carpets. You've got the living room, kitchen, dining area, 2 bedrooms and a full bathroom all on the main level. And then the basement has a large family room, built-in bar, laundry room, and 2 more bedrooms with egress windows in the basement. So once again, fully fenced backyard, covered patio, in-ground swimming pool, which sounds nice at 104 degrees earlier this week, and we're priced at $159.9 on that.
Wow.
So to get all of that in Central Richland, that's an incredible property. I think that one will go very quickly. Pick number three, this is over in South Richland. This is a three-bedroom, three-bath with a den in Applewood Estates, right off of Keene over there. Almost 3,000-square-foot house. You've got wood floors, super high ceilings. You've got large living room. It's got the gas fireplace, big kitchen with stainless steel appliances, breakfast bar, double built-in ovens for when you have all the family over. Fantastic, fantastic kitchen. You've got the master on the main, which a lot of people are looking for. They like to have that master on the main level, and that has access out to the covered patio, along with dual sink vanity, tile floors, and super large shower. So you're getting all of this, fully fenced, private backyard, amazing landscaping with a fire pit area, and they're coming in at $385. So to get South Richland, Applewood, for that space at $385, that's $1,392 Fuji. That is a fantastic, fantastic property. So as we wrap up here, we've got a few more of our objections and stuff that we hear in real estate a lot that we're kind of debunking those myths and talking about those misconceptions. And right before the break, we gave out one of the biggest ones, and that is, I'm offended by this offer. I don't even want to respond. One of the things that happens is when people are selling real estate, they have a very personal connection with that property. I mean, they have gone home to that property every night for, say, the last 10 years. I mean, so it's very specific to them. And when that happens, a lot of times it can really hinder your viewpoint and become very emotionally attached. Now, personally, I'm super excited about this because I wouldn't have a job if you didn't, if that didn't happen. A big portion of my job is helping evaluate and take out that emotional connection to the property. This happens a lot of times with offers that people might deem offensive. One of the crazy things about that is, and one of the things that has made that more common, is there are a lot of, we should say, half-scripted reality shows on TLC that people watch way too much. And they're not in the Tri-Cities market. But a lot of times you see people go in and they offer $50,000 less, or they offer $40,000 less. Cut to 2 weeks later and they magically have the house. And you missed everything that happened in between there. And so you're missing a lot of the things that happen and just saying, oh yeah, I saw this on TLC, we should offer $60,000 less. Or, well, one of the things about that is that could be a different market, that could be edited, that could be semi-scripted. One, and so a lot of times it might be worth a counter because a buyer might need that just to be educated. They might not know that they might have come from Las Vegas or Arizona market where 2 years ago they got burned and properties dropped $80,000. And it's amazing the voids and the distances between offer and then agreed upon purchase price that I have seen overcome over the years. So if you had seen a $50,000 gap on a $200,000 house be closed and a buyer and seller come to agreement, you would have the perspective that I have, even if we counter back at full price or 1,000 off list price. In today's technology age, it's only going to take me 10 to 12 minutes to prepare that, get those signatures over to the other agent. It's worth a shot, right? So, and I've seen those voids be, you know, filled and come together to where we have an agreement.
Well, if they decline the offer, it's gone, right? But if you counter back, who knows what could happen?
And that's absolutely the case. And so that is one of those things where I always talk to people about that. Now, you know, there is the other viewpoint. A lot of people just want to negotiate very hard and just say that, you know, that rejection shows that they're serious. More times than not, though, I've seen those deals go away and the counter deals come back together and keep that conversation open. So that's a big one that we hear a lot. So we talk about that a lot. The last one that I wrote down here that I hear all of the time and that we run into trouble with sometimes is we're getting ready to prepare something and do something, and I get the this is absolutely not how we do it in California. This is not how we did it in South Carolina. So here's what we need to do. This is how I've always done it. Here's what we need to do. And so sometimes there's an education process. And what I wrote down about that is you do not know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things I don't know anything about, and I don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah.
And it's the same thing in the real estate market. In some markets, 1% earnest money is customary. You know, if you're buying a $200,000 house, you could put $2,000 down. In other markets, if it's a $150,000 house or a $400,000 house, anything less than $5,000 in earnest money is offensive. So if you go to one of those markets and put down $2,000 and you're competing against other offers, you're going to do exactly like the point that we talked about in point six is you could very easily offend the seller and you don't even know that you've done that. Mm-hmm. So that's where a real estate professional that you're working with is. A lot of times people say, what's customary for your area? What is the seller expecting to see? What is their agent telling them that they should be seeing? And knowing what's customary. At the same time, this is another reason why we beg clients that have out-of-town lenders to consider going with Tom, who knows the local customs, who knows what to expect. I tell you what, we have one going right now that we're still trying to get closed. Literally, I got forms from a lender that was from out of town, and he sent me over forms, and he says, we need these termite forms and certifications filled out. So that we can process this loan.
That's when I say, huh?
I'm literally looking at, I'm like, I don't even know what this form is. What are you talking about? And so, you know, we have to call them and say, hey, we have never done, you know, we've sold, you know, 400 new construction houses. And the only other time we've seen this is exactly like this deal where it's not applicable. And so you get those forms, it just slows down the process. And then we got other forms that said, well, we need a builder certification for this. And once again, we're just like, how come we've sold, you know, 40 houses in Washington and never, you know, with the same builder and have never seen this form or had to do this before with the same type of loan programs?
Well, in best case scenario on that, that loan officer's got to go to an underwriter or go to a supervisor, waste 2 days on figuring out, do I really need this form? And now that loan is delayed because the clients couldn't go with an in-town lender.
Absolutely. And so the other thing I wrote down about that is there's things that could happen. Not knowing the local customs could cost you a fortune. You could offend the other party on a place you really want. You could overpay when you don't need to. And you could put the wrong amount of earnest money down. We've also had the overpay situation come where people have come to, they've come into town, say from California, and they see this absolutely gorgeous house. And it's, say it's not with a local agent. It's just listed by owner direct and it overlooks the freeway, but the river's on the other side of it. And they're like, this is fantastic. I can't believe this house is $290,000. In California, it'd be $1 million. We love it. We buy it. Mm-hmm. Well, then they, you know, 2 or 3 years later, they're trying to resell. And they're like, how come nobody in Tri-Cities wants to look at the freeway? Mm-hmm. Well, because in Tri-Cities, you don't have to necessarily for that price point. Mm-hmm. You know, it could have been an inflated price. Now, there's protections built into that. But once again, that comes down to, you don't know what you don't know. So you've got to find somebody that does know those customs, does know those values, and can advise you. And like I always say, we want to apply for that job. And make no mistake about it. We want to come help you with the sale of your house, help represent you when buying a home, and be that advisor to help you out there. So that's what we're doing, is we're applying for that job. We want that interview and that opportunity, and that's what we're here doing every week. So,
you know, Lance, I want to add to that. You know, I just closed my 100th loan transaction of the year last week.
Fantastic.
A huge part of that was with your guys' team and
thank
then
you.
From our listeners of the Real Estate Show. So I just want to say thank you, and thank you to the listeners for the business and the referrals you sent over.
Absolutely, Tom. Glad to do it. And once again, we will be right back here next week.